So we all like to go to the movies, and when we go to the movie, we sit and watch. And if the movie is a comedy movie, we laugh. If it is a sad movie, we cry. If it's a horror movie, we get scared. And then we identify with the hero, with the heroine. When the heroine is suffering and crying, we also cry. And when everything is going well at the end and the villain is in jail and hero, heroine get married and live happily forever, then we are happy. All movies end like that. They don't talk about what happens after they got married. All even fairy tales, you know, they got married and then they lived happily ever after. Well, I guess they have not seen real life. But anyway, so we get caught up in the movie, but then there are a few who are filmmakers who don't go to the movie to enjoy or suffer. They're not that engrossed in what is happening. They are more interested in the technical aspects. How is the direction? How is the acting? How is the lighting? How is the stage setting? And how did the plot unfold? So they are more interested in how the movie was made, what the origin of the movie was. So you and I, we are so caught in the story and we get so lost. But they... So similarly, in this world also, you and I are caught up in the world. We have our heroes and heroines and villains. I like this person, I don't like. And then we get attached to people we like, we get repelled from people we dislike, and we are caught in the movie of this world. And we leave at the time when the movie ends, not any better. You know, I've done the same thing. You know, just come, saw the movie and left. But then the wise people like Gurudev and the great mystics and the saints want to see the origin of this movie. Where did this movie originate from? How is this movie made? What is the structure of this? And so that is the difference between us and the wise people, the realized masters, the mystics, who actually want to go to the origin of this universe. Where did this world come from? Who is the cause of this universe? What is the nature of that cause? Is it Brahman or Father in heaven or Allah, or, you know, is that formless, or is it form like Sri Krishna, Sri Ram, Mother Saraswati? What is the nature of that? And why was this world created? How was it created? So that is what we have been studying the past few days about the wise people. And last week we had talked about Nirdosham hi samam Brahma. Tasmate brahmani sthitaha. So these wise people who remain sama, who remain balanced in all the pairs of joys and opposites, they neither get overjoyed when things are going well, neither get over depressed. They become one with that infinite reality, because actually all of us are that infinite reality, but we have forgotten it. So that's why Bhagavan Sri Krishna in this chapter talks a lot about the men of wisdom, men or women of wisdom, who are stable, unaffected. Why? Because their intellect is strongly established in that Brahman. Their mind is all the time in that asammuraha, and they are not deluded, and their intellect is stable. Such persons become one with Brahman. And they are not like a stone. They do have the joys and sorrows, but they do not get just blown away. But they are able to maintain their stability because their wisdom is firm. And for them, God can be nirgun or sagun. Nirgun means formless, that all formless, all pervading reality that we call Brahman, that is in all chara and achara. In living and non-living beings, that Brahman is equal, or they are equally able to see God in the form, whether it's Sri Krishna or Ganpati or Sri Rama or... And that's why Shankaracharya ji, one of the greatest Vedantins of ever who has lived, was able to compose beautiful hymns in praise of Mother Durga and Sri Ganpati and Sri Krishna. Why? Because they see that one formless in all forms. And that is the... And what happens to them? They enjoy akshaya sukham. Because they do not depend on the world for joy, they find the joy within, which is immutable, which is unchanging, which is permanent, which does not waver, while you and I get affected by worldly joys. Then, you know, as we talked about last time, I'm not there yet. I'm not at the level of Pujya Gurudev. I am still caught in the world, and at least let me have some joy, you know, in life. Kuch toh maja karne do. You know what you guys are saying, give up all joys and just remain in Brahman and study and all. I can't do that. You know, I like to have an ice cream once in a while. I like to, you know, buy a new car, a new jewelry, a new house, a new dress. Don't you think there's joy in that? So what's wrong with enjoying worldly joys or a person I love? You know, should I not? I mean, is that also joy? So what is wrong with worldly joys, and why in Vedanta you guys don't want us to have fun? You want our life to be boring. I think that's what Vedantins are. So Bhagwan says, I'll answer that question. And this verse 22 applies to us 100%. Every word of that, you can look at yourself and say, oh, that's me in the mirror. So listen to this verse, because it describes us, you and me, both of us. So verse number 22, very, very powerful verse, very, very, very strong language Bhagwan has used. It's like he's giving us blows. Okay. Yehi samsparshaja bhogaha. Dukkhayonaya evate. Adyantavanta kaunteya. Na teshu ramate buddhah. So he says, yehi. So these, ye means these. These joys that you are talking about. Indeed, he means indeed. When he wants to emphasize something, he puts the word indeed. Yes. Samsparshaja bhogaha. Bhogaha means enjoyments. Samsparshaja means born out of contact. So all the joys that we experience in the world are born out of contact. My eyes see something I like. My ears hear some music. I smell something nice. I taste something nice. I touch something soft. So at the body level, I experience objects. Or my mind feels some nice emotions, you know, joy, love, compassion. Or at the intellect level, I have certain good ideas, thoughts, some nice poetry I read or some. And so that is the contact. So body contacts objects, mind contacts emotions, intellect contacts thoughts, and vasanas are my tendencies, and Om represents God's presence. So anything that we experience, anything, has to be with contact, right? Without contact, I cannot experience. Right now, whatever you are listening, because your ears are contacting the sound. You are sitting on a chair, so you are contacting the chair. So contact is there constantly, sparsha. So why, how can we not enjoy contact? You're saying samsparsha ja bhogaha. These joys which are obtained from contacts, dukkha yonaya evate, they are the womb of sorrow. All contacts, yes, Bhagavan Krishna says, all contacts that are born out of this are joys. Joys, not all contacts, but all joys, bhogaha. These enjoyments born out of contacts are dukkha yoni. They are the womb of sorrow. So only thing that can come out of them is sorrow. Just as from a womb, a living individual can come, right? From a man's, woman's womb, a human being will come. From a cow will come. From a monkey will come. So from these bhogas, from these enjoyments, only thing can come out is sorrow. That's what Bhagavan is saying. I'm not saying. Dukkha yonaya evate. Why? He says, adi anta vanta. They are beginning and end. Vanta. They have adi means beginning, anta means end. They have beginning and end. O Kaunteya, O Arjuna. Arjuna, why he calls him Kaunteya? Because Kunti was a very noble soul, very, very evolved individual. So you are the son of Kunti. So I respect her so much. So you are a great, you know, like we say, you're a great lineage. Like somebody is, say, from the Kennedy family or somebody is from Mahatma Gandhi's family, then you say, okay, you know, you belong to a great soul, great individual. So same way, you are the son of Kunti. So, O Kaunteya, O Arjuna, they have a beginning and an end. They create sorrow. They are the womb of sorrow. All these joys, bhogaha, experienced by sense contacts. Na teshu ramate buddhaha. Buddhaha means wise people. Na teshu, not in them, ramate. They do not revel in them. So, what he is saying is wise people do not revel. So, if we revel in sense objects, we are unwise. Right? If wise people do not revel, but if you and I do, so we are unwise, we are otherwise. So let us spend some time. Actually, I'm only going to do two verses today because this verse needs a lot of discussion, and I'm sure people will have some doubts, or at least they will add to it. So we'll spend some time in this verse. So in the second chapter, Bhagwan uses the word sparsha again. Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukha daha agama apaino anityaha tantitikshasva bharata. O Arjuna, matra sparshastu, all our sense organs contact sense objects. And what do they give us? Heat and cold, joy and sorrow, success and failure. So our body contacts gives us heat and cold. At the mind, we get joy and sorrow. At the intellect, we get success and failure. Then we have friend and enemy. So all these contacts give us extreme, either happiness or sorrow, either heat or cold. And so we are all the time in these pairs of opposites. I like heat, or I don't like cold. I like joy, I don't like sorrow. I like success, I don't like failure. But as we have talked before, there are two sides of a coin. You cannot have heat without cold. You cannot have joy without sorrow. You cannot have success without failure. It is all, if one person wins the Olympics, the other seven who ran failed. Right? One only can get the gold medal. So in life, there will always be these pairs of opposites. So what Bhagavan says? Agama apaino, they come and go, they are anitya, they are temporary. Tantitikshasva bharata, be stable and be able to withstand. Do not get so much affected. Have this titiksha, have stability of your. So Gurudev in his commentary talks about laddu. Laddu, or nowadays of course nobody eats laddus. You can say chocolate or you can say ice cream. Very few people, except in weddings. So, say if you have a joy in laddu, right? I enjoy the sweet laddu. And if joy is in the object, then that same laddu should give the same joy to everybody, right? It doesn't. Some people like laddu, other person, I don't like laddu, I like chocolate or ice cream. Or another person is diabetic. He said, no, keep me away from laddu, because last time I had a laddu, my blood sugar went to 300, I ended up in the emergency room. So the same laddu gives joy to one and gives sorrow to the other. So the joy is not in laddu, it is in my mind, like the alcoholic drink. One person loves it, another person, no, keep me away, because... And then if laddu was to give me joy, then one laddu gives one time joy. But if I eat 25 laddus, I should have 25 times the joy, right? No. You eat one laddu is joy, second laddu, yeah, still joy, third laddu, that is enough, fourth, fifth, by the time I come to 25th, it's making me nauseous. So, joy is not in objects, it is in my mind and it is in my state. So, that is one thing we have to clearly understand, that joy is not in objects, joy is in my attachment to objects. So, when he says bhogaha, as we had talked last week also, the bhoga buddhi, that this particular object will give me joy, and dependence on that object for joy is the problem. We are not saying that one should not eat laddus or one should not enjoy or travel or sightsee or go for a movie, but to think that this object will make my life complete and without this object my life is incomplete, whether it could be an object, it could be a person, it could be a situation. Loving is okay, but dependence is not okay. Now, what happens when we enjoy things in the world? I was reading another commentary. He says it's like you are in the ocean and you are just swimming on the surface. It's okay. You will enjoy the swimming. There's nothing wrong. If you're a good swimmer and you can swim on the ocean, go ahead. But if you want a pearl, if you want something precious, you're not going to find it on the surface. You have to go deep. And that's why in Raman Maharishi, in his book Satdarshanam, talks about that. He says this diver who controls his breath and goes deep within to find that pearl. So similarly, you and I, when we control our breath, that means in meditation, when we control our breath and then when we turn the direction inward, you have to go deep within. And when you only go deep within, you will experience the joy. Similarly, in the world, if you remain on the superficial, you know, just then it's like that movie watcher who came, watched the movie and left. You really have to understand what is the source of this world. Where did this world come from? What is the depth? So unless you go to the depth of this world, you will just come, you know, see the world and go away. And you will not change. You will not experience what is the origin of this world. And chasing after worldly objects is like bubbles. You know, if you all have seen your kids and grandkids, you know, when they blow the bubbles and they run after them. They run. And the moment they catch, it breaks. And then you blow again and again another one, they catch again, it breaks. How long does the bubble last? Just a few seconds. The worldly joys may last a little longer, but ultimately they all lead to sorrow. Sorrow and sorrow alone, nothing else. I'll explain that a little more. Why it leads to sorrow, but let us just assume that for now, that they will end. Adyanta Vanta Kaunteya. They have a beginning and an end, and whatever I am enjoying, if it ends, it is sorrow. And what is the relevance of Gita? People say, you know what? I like Bhagwan Shri Krishna and I like the Bhagavad Gita, but these kind of shlokas, I don't think he should have put in there. I think what I'm going to do is make a new Gita and I'm going to remove all these verses. Actually, if you do, you will be more popular than Bhagwan Shri Krishna, because they'll say, yeah, yeah, ye wali Gita achhi hai. This is the one we want to read, not these kind of shlokas which say don't enjoy life. So you're welcome. But what they are saying is that what Bhagavan Shri Krishna told Arjuna several thousand years ago is as relevant today as it was then. And that's why all great masters studied the Bhagavad Gita. Gandhiji, Gurudev, of course, spent his whole life teaching the message of the Bhagavad Gita. So the Gita is very relevant. Now, what is wrong with having pleasures? So I don't think there's any psychiatrist here, but there are physicians. And so people come to you, right? And they say, I'm going through some stress. A lady comes, I'm going through a divorce, or I lost my mother, or, you know, some major stress. So she's having a lot of anxiety, crying. So you give a little Xanax or Valium or something. And for a short term is okay, but what it does, it creates dependence, where she comes every 3 months, I want a refill. And then there are people who will keep refilling it. And there are some people you see, they have been on it for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, for their whole life. You say, well, what's wrong with that? You know, what it is doing is, first of all, it is making them feel that I should have pleasure all the time. I should be peaceful and happy all the time. I should never have any stress. And it creates a dependence on that drug. And then these are all affect your mind. You know, now they have legalized marijuana. That's the worst. I think that's one of the biggest blunders humanity is making all over the world. Because as you all know, marijuana, cannabis affects the brain. It makes the brain stupid. You know, it affects the intelligence. And especially for youth to be using it, I think it's criminal. But our leaders, who are stupid leaders sitting somewhere in Sacramento or Washington, D.C., feel it's okay to legalize, and also the majority of the people voted. But all these drugs affect the brain and make the person affect their intelligence. So, but what people want, that I should always be fine. So every day they will take marijuana or take a drug, and that is how they become dependent on these drugs. And sorrow is there. Why is there? It says Adi Antavanta. From the beginning there is sorrow. Why? Because I'm going to lose it. Even though I have it, I'm going to lose it. It's not going to be with me forever. Even if it is, for after a while, it will get old. You know, it's a brand new house. It gives me joy. Then things start breaking, and then the heating goes out, and then I have to replace the roof, and then this happens, or I buy a new car. After a while, the car, you know, the transmission is gone, new brakes, new tires. As things get older, you know, the same thing that used to give me a lot of joy will give me a lot of sorrow. You know, the same person I used to love so much, I dated, oh, there was so much joy. After a while, joy is not the same. There is sorrow. So we know that anything that we love eventually will lead to sorrow. That is guaranteed. There is no doubt in this. Shankaracharya ji uses even more strong words. He says, yatha pashu pravritti naam. He says, if you are chasing after objects, you are nothing but a pashu. You are no better than an animal. He's calling us animal, and we still read his book, you know, these kind of insults, and we still don't learn. See, Bhagwan is giving us insults, Shankaracharya ji. And why? Because animal, that's what he does, right? Runs away from sorrow, runs towards joy. Actually, animal is better than us. Because a lion, suppose he kills one deer, does he say, now let me kill three deer, so I have one for today, one for tomorrow, one for day after, let me save them and keep them? No, he kills one deer, he's done, he's fine. Next, kal ki kal dekhi jayegi. But you and I have 1,000, now I have to have 100,000, then I have to have 1 million, then I have to have 3 million, then 5 million. Oh, I don't know, retirement and my children and my grand. And there is no end. You see, we are not satisfied. And same thing, look at our closets. My God, so many clothes. There's no place to put more clothes. We still keep on buying. And no control. So that is so. Actually, I think even to call Pashu is an insult of Pashu. I think. But anyway, Shankaracharya ji calls us Pashu Pravritti Naam. And then he says, Shreya Margo Paripanthina. It is an enemy of Shreya. If you want to improve your life, dependent on these objects will take you away from Shreyas. There is Shreyas and Prayas. You know, in Kathopanishad, teacher tells us Shreyas is what is good for us. Prayas is what gives us temporary pleasure. So temporary pleasure will give you temporary joy, but look for permanent, look for Shreyas. And why do we indulge in these objects? Because it comes out of ignorance. Because I have so many vasanas, I have ignorance. So I think that this object will give me joy. And so out of ignorance, we keep on chasing. But the Bhagavad Gita, once we have this kind of knowledge, that is the advantage of reading these texts and listening to Swamiji and other teachers, that they give us the wisdom, remove the ignorance. The other thing objects do is create dependence. And last week we had already decided, do you want temporary joy or permanent joy? Everybody said permanent joy. Do you want continuous joy? You want joy mixed with sorrow in between? No sorrow. We want continuous. So that we have decided. Do you want dependent joy or independent joy? Dependent means I depend on something for my joy, or do I want independent? Obviously, everybody says independent. In fact, Goswami Tulsidas ji in Ramayan, today we'll be chanting Tulsi Ramayan. So he says, Paradhine swapne hi sukh nahi. Even in a dream, if you are getting joy depending on something or somebody, that is not real joy, because whatever somebody has given, they can take away. Right? Whatever somebody has given me, whether it's an object or a person, a job, it can be taken away. But people say, I don't want to be dependent on anybody, and that is good. You say, I don't mind death. I know I have to die, but I don't want to suffer. See, that's everybody says, right? I don't want to be suffer. I don't want to be bedridden. Because then what will happen? I'll depend on somebody to come and change me, and somebody to come and feed me, and somebody to take me to the bathroom. I don't want to suffer. But dependence is suffering. And old age, that's why it is suffering, because you have to depend. So the idea is that anytime you depend on anybody for anything, it creates sorrow. Then to get these bhogas, to get these objects, what do I have to do? I have to do karma, right? If I want to buy a new car, I have to go earn it. If I want to buy a new house, if I want a new job, I have to be qualified. And the other thing is that the knowledge should be clear as to what I am doing, and the correct understanding should be there. But when I do actions, I could do good actions or I could do nishiddha karma, right? Nishiddha means forbidden actions. And sorrow in this world, we have studied before, but just to summarize, can come from three sources. Anytime there is sorrow, it can either come from nature, you know, from the gods, like earthquake, tornadoes, you know, hurricanes, all these, you know. So that is one. Then second, sorrow can come from my surroundings, from my neighbors, from my family, from my boss, from my work. So that one is called adhi daivik, from the devas. Adhi bhautik means come from the bhabhutas, from others. And adhyatmik can come from within. So three kinds of sorrows, either from nature or from my surroundings or from within. But when I do the nishiddha karma, when I do the wrong karmas to acquire things, you know, I acquire a lot of money, but I do it dishonestly, then three things can happen. There can be internal sorrow. I feel bad, you know, I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have cheated that person to get money. Or if, how about if I get caught? How about if people find out? So one is adhyatmik, internal sorrow, doing wrong things. Then surroundings, because people will find out, you know, this guy cheated that person, be careful of him. Nobody will want to deal with you. That is adhi bhautik. And how is adhi daivik? The law of karma. Once I have done bad to somebody, then for sure the karmas will affect us. So clear understanding of why I am doing what I am doing is very important. Talking about clear understanding, this man was taking a train trip from Bombay to Calcutta. And you know, it's an overnight trip. So early morning he reached Calcutta and his friend met him at the train station. And he looked, all his eyes were red. He looked so tired. He said, what happened? He said, I didn't sleep all night. He said, but you had a sleeper berth, didn't you? I had told you take a sleeper berth first class. He says, yeah, I did it. But my berth was on top. You know, they have upper and lower berth. And I'm afraid of heights, and whole night I was afraid I'll fall. And so whole night I didn't sleep. I said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. But maybe, why didn't you ask the guy in the lower berth to switch the berth? Why didn't you ask somebody to change? He said, I couldn't, because there was nobody on the whole trip. So when you don't have right understanding, that is what we do. We do the wrong things, or we do the things without understanding. And then the other problem with these sense bhogas is that we don't know when to stop and excess. You go to a wedding, do roti and teen roti, then a second helping of dessert, and then next morning, the, you know, your stomach, and the wife will say, I told you. You go to a wedding and rukta hi nahi hai, you don't stop. And I was trying to hint you, don't take that extra, you know, laddu. Don't take that extra helping of ice cream. Excess, you know, youth, you can eat anything. After a certain age, you know, little bit your stomach. Exercise, in the beginning, we could do so much. You know, we can climb Mount Whitney and go to, you know, Machu Picchu and Half Dome and all. Abhi toh, even few steps, you get exhausted. Body will doesn't keep up. So, and if you overdo it, then body ache. Then you go to the chiropractor, or you go to the physical therapist, or to the orthopod, getting injections, you know, muscle strain and ligament strain, all that. Excess of anything is bad. So that's what happens, that the problem is that we don't know when to stop. And we have to understand that with age, we have to modify. And excess of exercise, excess of food, you know, excess of activity, too much work. So all those things can create problems. Then people say, but you know what? At least after death, when I go to heaven, that bhoga is fun, right? How come, how will that create sorrow? Isn't that good? He said, Bhagavan says, no, even that is sorrow. You know why? Because the clock is ticking. You are in heaven every day. Ek din kam ho gaya, ek din kam ho gaya. One day less, one day less. And then one day when your karmas, good karmas are ended, the security guards will throw you out the door. Okay, throw him out. He's done with heaven. So even there you are afraid. I'm only going to be here so many years. And then again I have to go back to the, you know, this world. So even heaven joy is temporary, right? And you know that it is going, no matter how much joy you are getting, all these dancing girls and all the food and the house and every kind of pleasure you have, but it will end. But then people say, why do these rishis in the scriptures, why are they so tough on us? You know, they should be more gentle. You know why? Because they don't want to sell books. See, author writes books for so that, oh, everybody should like my book. Rishi says, I'll tell the truth like it is, whether you like it or not. Because they are not here to sell their Upanishad. They are not saying more people should buy my... In fact, they haven't even put their name. Most of the Upanishad, we don't even know who the author of the Upanishad is, who the teacher is, because they had no interest in popularity and all. They said, I'm going to tell the truth as it is. If you like it, fine. If you don't like it, and Bhagavan Shri Krishna throughout the Gita, he says, this is the path of good, this is the path of other. A choice is yours. So same way the rishis are telling us, this is what is good for you, this is not. You can choose. But what we do is, anytime we start something good, we'll say, we'll do it from tomorrow. You know, teacher says you should get up in the morning and meditate. Definitely, teacher, from tomorrow. You know, not from today, not from now. To kal se karunga. You know, and that is in Spanish, it's mañana. It's the most famous. Anything you tell him to do, mañana. I'll do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow when you wake up and the alarm is on, then you say, today I'm tired, you know. And anyway, who starts meditate before age 65? At least you are reading, at least you have read the Gita, at least you have intention of meditation. We'll do it after 65. Turn the alarm and go to sleep. So that is what we do. We keep postponing whatever good we have to do. And they say, do not postpone it. Start from today. Then people say satsang, you know, that also contact, right? Now we are listening to Bhagavad Gita. That is also contact, sense objects. Is that also creation of sorrow? Or we sit and sing good bhajans, or we sit in front of the Lord and do puja, we offer flowers. That also is contact, right? So is that contact also bad? No. But Bhagavan tells us that contact through satsang, through puja, through singing bhajans actually will elevate your mind and take you away from objects towards God. God within or without. So anything that takes us towards the self is good. So we're not saying that you can't go through life, you know, see no evil, hear no evil. You can't close your eyes, nose. But as far as possible, see things that will take us, remind us of God. Hear good bhajans, listen to good thoughts, attend lectures. We know we have Swamiji's coming every month. So those contacts, they are also matra sparsha, but those contacts take us towards the better, towards Om, towards the Lord, while most of our contacts take us towards the world. So we have to see that this particular person or this particular contact, am I getting better or am I going down? So anything that's taking me up is good. And chasing after objects is like chasing after mirage. You know, mirage, we know, you run after a mirage, you think there is water and you go there and there's no water. Then you see a mirage further, you keep chasing. So similarly, worldly objects, you keep on chasing one after the other, thinking it will give me joy. And that, unfortunately, what happens, youth comes and it goes. Anga galitam. Shankaracharya ji says it very beautifully, that your body will become weak. You won't be able to enjoy. So learn right now. Do not wait. Because once your body is weak, your mind is weak in old age, you are not going to be able to. So whenever you get an opportunity, whenever you hear this knowledge, it is good. Start practicing and living it. But what we say, you know what, it's very hard to avoid sense objects. We watch TV constantly. They are saying, buy this, buy that, get that. Without this, you know, this food, this, that, all this new iPhone and new this and new Samsung and new car and internet, you turn on the internet, constantly ads are coming, you know. So how are we to overcome this? Constantly, the world never stops, right? Constantly they're throwing things at you. Turn on the phone, turn on the TV, turn on your computer. One after the other, things keep coming. So the next verse, Bhagavan tells us how to handle. World will keep giving you sense objects. How to make myself strong.